Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to talk to listener Jennifer about a big family trip. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Let's hear what Ron Everett, retired high school principal, has to say about the Wisdom of Walt. He says, regardless of whether you have been to Disneyland once or 100 times, read this book. You will experience the park and look at your life through a totally new perspective. You can pick up The Wisdom of Walt on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. And you can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. It's not too long here until Mother's and Father's Day. This will be a great gift for that Disney fan in your family. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at TouringPlans.com. They are the homes of trip planning tools that show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I call this my insurance policy against the crowds because it gives me up-to-the-second information so that I can make great choices on my Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check them out today and pick up that premium subscription over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1171 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And if you're listening to today's show right as it releases, happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers we have out there in our audience. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, who is the best mother in the world, and my mom, Kathy, out in St. Charles. And I know in the ad read I mentioned Mother's Day. It's too late to get the Wisdom of Walt, but hey, you can do it for Father's Day. And you know what? Get Mom another gift. Get her a copy today. So today you came in for a trip report, and we're going to give that to you. Joining me today from out in New Jersey, we have listener Jennifer. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate your time, and hope you had a fun Mother's Day, whatever you did out there in Jersey. I'm sure it's a good time.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about your trip. Everybody comes back for trip reports to hear what happened down at Walt Disney World. Now, you took the big group, you know, and this is one of those things that I think Disney does a great job of building up how awesome. They used to have grand gatherings, you know, as an official thing, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. They discontinued that. But it is kind of a special thing to take extended family with you down to Walt Disney World, because there's no better place to make vacation memories. But there are some caveats with that. You got to be careful. So just talk us through, when did you guys go down and who all went with you?
We were there the first week of October. We flew down on October 2nd, and it was me, my husband, and my two-year-old daughter for the first time. So it was her first trip, which was the draw, I think, for most people to go. My mom was there. My aunt was there. My cousin and her husband, my sister and her boyfriend, and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law.
Whew, that is a crew. Now, let me ask you this, because
with
it being your child's first trip, I mean, that's kind of enough in itself. You know, taking a kid for the first time, especially a toddler, it's an exciting time, but there's so many concerns just to think about, just like if it was just you and, you know, your family with a two-year-old. So how did this turn into such a big trip? Was it intentional, or was it just people heard you were going and, you know, kind of started showing some curiosity? I mean, what was the genesis of this larger group?
I think it was kind of, a combination of the two. So we had said, I don't know, at some point, you know, hey, we're going to go for Amelia's first trip in October of 2016, and you know, whoever wants to come should come. And you know, more people were going to come, but then they decided they couldn't do it. The people I mentioned, you know, just now obviously said, you know, yes, you know, we definitely want to go. And we hadn't all been there together. Like, I hadn't been to Disney with my mom since I was probably like 6 or 7. So it was a good time for, while I see my mom all the time, kind of like a family reunion. situation. And then, like, my husband's cousin and her fiance happened to be in Florida at that time. So they were like, yeah, we'll come over too. So they met us for a couple of days. So I think it was really just a combination of the two things.
Awesome. And you know what? That's kind of cool because I would imagine also, you know, kind of a, you have the family there and you can really make some awesome memories, kind of like I said at the top of the show, but also with a 2-year-old, I would imagine that your mom and other family members might have been a help with, because I mean, 2-year-olds are just, there's a lot to take care of, especially when you're away from
there
home.
Sure
so,
is.
So did that help having the extra hands?
Yeah, it really did. When we were planning the trip, you know, the thing that was so difficult for me was I've been to Disney so many times that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to know exactly what I want to do, exactly what I don't want to do. And I can picture the trip like ahead of time. You know, you can picture how it's going to go. And with this trip, with everything being so different, I couldn't picture it at all. And that was really difficult for me. But, you know, my mom, my aunt, my in-laws said, you know, we can take Amelia back for naps, or we can sit with her, you know, at lunch, or we can take her on a ride and you and Mike can have time, you know, to yourselves to breathe. So it definitely helped to have everybody there.
That's awesome. That's really kind of the benefit of doing a trip like this. Now, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
As far as the trip planning, you're a Disney veteran. So you, like you said, you can in your mind's eye picture how you think things are going to unfold. Not necessarily in this situation because you have so many variables in a trip like this. But how do you organize the pre-trip? Did social media help you out? Did you call folks? I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of folks trying to figure out, okay, what are we planning, you know, and that kind of stuff. How'd that work before you went down?
Yeah, so I sent you guys an email about a year before we went and just said, you know, hey, we're going with a bunch of people and these are my thoughts and what do you guys think? And, you know, the conclusion was, you know, me and my cousin and my sister, who really were kind of the Disney trip planners of the group, said, you know, this is what we think we should do, or this is what we at least want to do. Who wants to come to this meal and who wants to get a fast pass for this ride? And there was a lot of moving parts there for a while, especially with, you know, planning your fast passes ahead of time. That was a little bit stressful. But in the end, what we wound up doing was making an itinerary for each day and just saying, you know, hey, this is the ADR we have. We'll see you there, you know, and this is the fast passes we have and maybe we'll see you there and maybe we won't. And while we got together for a couple of meals, everybody kind of wound up doing their own thing, which was nice.
And I think that's key with something like this is that you can't, as much as in your mind, you might have a picture of, you know, the 17 of you all together around the table at Ohana. In reality, you know, folks might want to do something else that night where you're right. I mean, it, you know, have that opportunity that, hey, everybody's welcome. But when everybody's together, that's a treasure thing. It's not going to happen 7 nights in a row. And I think that you probably set everybody up for success saying, look, here's where we're going to be. You don't have to be there, but if you'd like to, because there's just so much to do at Walt Disney World and everybody has different expectations of their vacation. So I think that's one of the biggest keys you can get out of taking a large group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So walk me through as far as accommodations. You know, you said some people were already down in Florida, but, you know, where did everybody stay at the same resort or how'd that work?
No, everybody was actually spread out. So my husband and my daughter and I were at Old Key West. My cousin and her husband were at Polynesian. My sister was at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And then my mom and my aunt had a room together and my in-laws had a room together actually at Bonnet Creek off property. And they didn't plan that. It just kind of happened that way that the four of them wound up staying at the same resort. So we were all spread out, which also was kind of nice. The only thing that was a bummer about that was it took some of us a lot longer to get places than it took other people. So, you know, like, for example, we went to Ohana the first night we were there. We all had dinner at Ohana and it took my husband and I, I'm going to say probably an hour and 20 minutes to get to Polynesian from Old Key West. Like by the time we got on the bus made the trip around the resort, you know, by the time we got over there, whereas everybody else got there quicker and you know, were eating. So that was the only bummer about that. But otherwise, you know, being spread out was kind of nice.
Yeah, it is, because everybody kind of has their own space. But I'm also thinking, too, that, you know, the thing is, like, I haven't gone with, like, official family, you know, a large family, but we tend to go down, like we will for the podcast cruise, and we're down there before and after, that, you know, it's almost like an extended family, and everybody's all over the place. All my friends are at different resorts because they're DVC, or, you know, some stay deluxe, right. Some stay value. We tend to stay moderate. We all end up places. But I think one of the great things is kind of catching up with everybody, you know, outside of going on Big Thunder Mountain or Haunted Mansion or something. It's kind of just hanging out and catching up. And I think that, like you said, going to Ohana, great idea, because that's a great restaurant for larger groups. You know, we found a place to hang out, like the Nomad Lounge, because we got to kind of sit on some outside lounge chairs and just chit-chat, have drinks, have appetizers, and have a good time. So did you find times to do things like, and I know it's harder with a two-year-old, but did you find times to kind of meet and just hang out like that outside of going from attraction to attraction?
Yeah. You know, there was some, well, it was Food and Wine. So there was definitely, you know, downtime walking around Epcot and going to the booths and sitting down and, you know, having a beer. So there was definitely downtime there. You know, my husband and I, we didn't do anything at night. So, like, we didn't do any fireworks or anything like that. We wanted to keep Amelia's schedule, you know, as regular as you can in Disney. So we didn't do any of that stuff, but everybody else did. And it was great. And they had their downtime there. You know, my in-laws went back to their resort in the middle of the day, so they weren't walking around all day in the heat. So everybody kind of had their own moments of downtime and just relaxation.
And you got to have that, boy. I know it's so hard to say, oh, I'm just going to chill out for a few hours. Because it's like, you know, like right now, I'm getting ready to go down in July, and it's been since January, and I'm itching. You know, it's like, I'm not going to waste 5 minutes on that trip. But the thing, you just wear yourself out, and you're going for the sake of going, and you're not even enjoying yourself. You know, and I think that's hard to say when you're back at home and you're sitting in the air conditioning. But that's so smart, and especially with a two-year-old. That's kind of where I want to go next, is asking, you know, what did you think of the trip overall, just in the aspect of taking your daughter, who's 2 years old? Was it harder than you thought? Was it easier than you thought? Anything that caught you by surprise?
I think it was easier than I anticipated it being. But I definitely, you know, hindsight is perfect. And I definitely learned some lessons. You know, I think there was a day or two where, you know, where maybe we pushed her a little bit too hard, and, you know, we should have gone back for a nap and we didn't. You know, so I think that I learned some stuff, but, you know, also it was the week of the hurricane too. So everything was shut down on Friday. So we did have, speaking of relaxation time, we did have one full day where you couldn't do anything. You had to relax because everything was shut down.
How relaxing is it though when there's a hurricane bearing down on you? Can you relax? I think you would need a hurricane in your hand to relax, maybe.
Yeah. So I do think it was easier than I anticipated it being. I think I built it up in my head because, like I said before, I didn't know what to expect. But my daughter is also very adaptable and very easygoing. And she was a trooper the whole week. So that worked out really well.
All right. One more question about taking your daughter, because I know we have a lot of anxious parents out there. And the first trip is always just like, oh, I'm so scared to do it. I remember it with Mallory. Fortunately, we took her when she was 6 months, and that was a piece of cake. It's just like carrying her around, you know, wasn't a big deal. A little bit harder when she was a toddler, but they have so much stuff. So how did you go about getting all the necessities down there? Because I'm not kidding. I remember Mallory when she was two, it was like you were schlepping stuff around like for an army, you know, the big stroller.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's because we drove, but I mean, did you have a lot of stuff, and how'd you manage all that?
We had a lot of stuff. We did. So we rented a stroller and a crib from Kingdom Strollers. And we wound up canceling the stroller order and taking our own stroller, because all of a sudden it occurred to us that we were going to be in the airport at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And how are we going to rein this kid in with no stroller? So we brought our own stroller. We did keep the crib. We know, you know, there's a pack and play at every DVC room, but we were afraid that it would be too small for her. She's really tall. So we did the crib, and Kingdom Strollers was great. I would recommend them to anyone. So we did that. And as far as like what we brought with us, we really just brought the essentials. So like we brought, you know, she's got an aquarium that makes noise that she sleeps with at night. We brought that. We made sure to bring a couple of books that she reads at night before bed, the blanket, the stuffed animals, you know, all of that. But we also, we brought the iPad. And I really wanted to be that parent that didn't have the iPad stuck in front of their kid's face all day. And I was not that parent. Yeah, she had the iPad stuck in front of her face for a good portion of that week. So don't be afraid to bring the iPad.
Amen.
It's essential.
You can do that with older kids too. I hate to say it, you know, because you don't want to do it, but it's good to have just in case. I know, but I'm just saying. I don't want to disturb those. You know, I'd rather have a kid playing with an iPad than a kid screaming if I'm there at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, yes, quite frankly. And when I'm walking around Epcot enjoying my beer and my filet mignon from Canada, she is not interested. So, like you said, I would rather have her playing with her, you know, ABC apps or whatever she's doing than freaking out because she's bored.
Good call. So. It's better to have it in when you need it than to not have it and need it. So
definitely.
Let me ask you about this. Is kind of personal, but you know, we don't get to talk to folks that stay at Old Key West very much. It's personal because I'm curious about it because we're staying at Old Key West with our friends, the Gardeners, post cruise. And this is one of the resorts where I've never stayed. Now I've visited many times because I love Olivia's. Let me just say that. But yeah. What were your thoughts on Old Key West? Was it all you were hoping for?
I loved Old Key West. So we initially had a room booked. We had a studio booked at Grand Floridian because that's our home, our DVC home resort. And somewhere along the way, my husband and I thought, you know what? We should really get a one bedroom because, you know, Amelia's going to go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. So what are we going to do? Tiptoe around, you know, for the rest of the night? Like that's unrealistic. So we changed our reservation to the one bedroom in Old Key West. First of all, it was gigantic. It was huge. And I know they say that the rooms at Old Key West are the biggest on property. And I hope that they are because this one bedroom was gigantic. It was on the first floor. We asked for, you know, to be up by the hospitality house, which we were. We were right there, right next to Olivia's. We were right next to a bus stop. And I mean, the resort is beautiful. The room was, like I said, huge. I mean, obviously, you know, super clean, Disney standards, but I really liked it there. And I was afraid that I wasn't going to like it just because I had anticipated staying at Grand Floridian, which I have never done. But I was not disappointed at all. It was a good move. It was a good decision. And it was a beautiful stay.
Man, now you have me so excited for my trip. You know,
because
I've walked around it when I've gone to Olivia's, you know, because sometimes you check in and they're like, you know, it'll be 30 minutes. So you get a little time to kind of stroll around and our friends, their DVC. So we went into the, what's that called? Like the community room there, you know, with all the goodies and all the fun stuff to do, the crafts and so forth. And it's just, it really does. I mean, to me, and I'm not DVC, so I'm speaking from a non-DVC point of view. It seems, and I don't know why it is, but it sure does seem more homey than a regular Walt Disney World Resort. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my Pop Century, Riverside, you know, Coronado, wherever I stay, I love it. But it just felt like, I mean, that's the whole mantra of DVC is that, you know, welcome home. This is part of you. But it felt that way there. And I think that community room with the cast members that were taking care of everybody in there, I don't know. It just really felt like a place you want to spend time in even more than a regular Disney resort. Do you feel that too?
Yeah, I agree. I felt that way at Old Key West, and I feel that way at Boardwalk. At Boardwalk, I feel like I'm actually home, and I love Pop Century also. It's definitely my favorite value, but I felt at home at Old Key West, and I do at Boardwalk also.
Awesome. All right, well, let's hop into the theme parks here and talk about some of the experiences there. What memories do you have? You know, it's been quite a while since the trip, but what do you remember, you know, as far you were there during Food and Wine Festival? Did you make Epcot a central part of your trip, or were you going to all four parks? How'd that go?
We did go to all four parks. We started off with Magic Kingdom on the first full day that we were there on Monday. Tuesday we did Epcot. It rained here and there. You know, you could definitely tell that the hurricane was on its way. But Tuesday was the day that Amelia met Mickey and his friends. And I know every parent has said it. I'm sure that you have been there yourself, but I cried like a baby.
Yep.
And I don't know if anything will top that moment. It was, I mean, any stress that I had planning this trip was gone. I actually felt lighter after it was, you know, after she met them and she was so happy. It was amazing.
You know what they should have right there with Mickey? After your kid meets Mickey for the first time, they should have a little, sign-up booth for DVC. They would get 100%. 100% people sign up. You know, you can do this for the next 50 years. Here you go. Sign the line.
Yes.
You're all good. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sign on the dotted line.
Good stuff. So what else you guys do?
We went to Animal Kingdom on Wednesday. And we all got together for lunch at Yak and Yeti, which was amazing. I could never say enough about Yak and Yeti. It was super hot that day. The humidity was out of control. So we actually, my husband and I and my daughter and then my in-laws, we all left right after lunch. And we went to Disney Springs for a little while, walked around, had some downtime. And that was when it started to downpour. We were at the margarita bar, at Disney Springs down by, like Ghirardelli. And I asked the bartender, I said, you know, what are the chances, you know, that this hurricane comes in and you guys shut down? And he said, well, you know, the chances are pretty good, but the rule of thumb is once you hear about either SeaWorld or Universal closing, once one of the three announces they're closing, the other two follow suit. And he said, at this point, we've heard that SeaWorld will be closed on Friday. We were like, oh, okay. So we kind of knew that it was coming. Thursday morning, we went to Epcot again, and the parks were closing at 5 o'clock that day. So we tried to get in, everything we could at Epcot. We actually had fast passes for Frozen for Friday. Which we knew, right, wasn't going to happen. So we went to Frozen, we talked to the cast member, you know, right up front and said, hey, look, here's the deal, what can you do? And she said, well, you know, unfortunately we can't do anything, which is understandable.
Yeah.
So we finished out the day. We jumped in a lot of puddles. We got really wet, which, you know, Amelia loved. And then Friday, like I said, everything was shut down. But we actually went back to Epcot on Saturday, and I went to guest relations with proof, you know, that I had the fast pass for Frozen on Friday. And they gave us the fast passes back, no questions asked. Happy to do it. So that was great, and that worked out really well. So we were able to go on after all.
It's so good to hear when Disney does stuff like that, because it doesn't cost them anything, and it just it makes everybody feel good about the situation, because of course they can't control the weather, but you
right.
know, you've been looking forward to that experience, you know, and so if they can make it right, that makes me so happy to hear that they did that. Now let me ask you this, because you're there in a very unique situation, because, you know, as much as Florida's down in, you know, the tropical region, you know, a lot of hurricanes don't pass over. It's very rare for that to happen. I was there yeah. during Hurricane Charlie back in, I think it was 04, 05, something like that, 03. And it went right over and it closed the parks, and, you know, it was Category 3. It was kind of scary that night as it passed over Pop Century where we were staying. During this trip, I remember when I think of that trip, there was like a buzz at the you know, kind of resort-wide in the days leading up to it. You know, like you said, you're at the margarita bar talking with the bartender about, you know, what's the latest news. What did you kind of have that feel for this whole trip once you heard that there was a possibility that, you know, the parks may actually close because of Matthew? I think that's what it was called. So did you have that buzz
yeah.
going on?
Yeah. You know what? You didn't really hear anything about it before Wednesday. Yeah, obviously we knew, you know, we've been watching the weather and, you know, we were kind of joking about it before we went down, you know, make sure you bring your ponchos and whatever. But before Wednesday, it was hot. It was sunny. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. You would have never known. And then Wednesday, this downpour happened and, you know, like my mom is calling me, you know, I think that you should try and change your flight. You know, I think you should try and leave early, which, you know, wasn't really feasible. At the time, our flight was scheduled for Saturday. So once that downpour happened on Wednesday, then the buzz, you could hear the buzz. Thursday morning, when we got to Epcot, the buzz was loud because everybody knew the park was closing at 5. Everybody knew that everything would be shut down on Friday. And I have to say, walking around Epcot on Thursday and listening to, you know, being in line at the booths and being in the stores and everything, and listening to guests who clearly were not Disney veterans, ask cast members what they should do. How safe will I be? What will I have access to? Will you refund my ticket? You know, questions that couldn't necessarily be answered either at that time or by those people. And those cast members smiled on their faces, answered any question they could, found the answer if they couldn't. And I mean, as a Disney veteran, of course, that's what you expect. But like you just said, to see it happen and to see the cast members do everything they could to reassure these people that everything was going to be fine, that Disney would take care of them, was heartwarming and gave me goosebumps because I knew I was safe. You know, I wasn't concerned, but there were a lot of people that were really concerned. The hype on the local news was big.
Yes.
And people were concerned. And Disney did, I thought Disney did a great job reassuring people and telling them that everything would be fine.
That's so good to hear that the message is consistent and clear and that they're going to take care of you as best they can, because you're right. The media, you know, with these kind of situations, they tend to just scare people to death, you know,
especially, yes.
Because you got to think about it. The Floridians were probably, okay, we know this is coming. We're experienced. You know, you're from New Jersey, so you're close to the ocean. Like, I'm from Missouri. So if my family, who doesn't pay close attention, you know, I'm a weather freak anyway. I love, you know, chasing, you know, the thunderstorms around here and so forth. But if you're the typical person from Missouri, a hurricane's as far away from anything that you know about as anything else. And so, especially maybe from another country, you don't speak the language well. It's good to hear that, yeah. Disney is reassuring you because, you know, you've gone to that destination. Now they're seeing you truly as a guest. They call you a guest, but it sounds like, you know, they put the words to practice during a situation like this.
Yeah, it was really great to see. And we heard stories, you know, we, like I said, my husband's cousin and her fiance were already in town. They had a room at Pop Century. And I mean, she called me at one point and she said, this cast member, I think she was like a guest relations cast member. She's been here for 24 hours. Yeah. She has not slept. She has not gone home because, you know, people's flights were canceled. So they needed rooms, you know, like all of these things were happening and the cast members were, I mean, outstanding. You know, there's a really big difference between keeping a smile on your face for an 8-hour shift on Main Street and keeping a smile on your face for 24 hours in the middle of a weather crisis.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
These guys, they killed it.
Yeah. And I mean, their houses, you know, they're locals, you know, like their house is in danger, you know, and,
yes.
You know, like it hits our hotel, we don't want it to hit our hotel, but guess what? We're flying out in 3 days and Disney will fix it. You know, those cast members,
right.
They're hoping
right.
The roof is still on their home when this is all going on. So kudos to you
exactly.
For pointing that out. Let me ask you one more thing about that. Then we'll kind of wrap up with some restaurant, other maybe experiences, but coming out on the other side, I remember that Friday night, I believe they opened just Disney Springs. And I remember seeing the pictures.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So how did you guys get involved in that Disney Springs madness, or did you kind of reemerge and take your time to get back to a regular Disney vacation on the tail end here?
We definitely thought about it. So we got the voicemail, you know, from Old Key West that said, you know, buses would start running at, I think it was 6 o'clock to Disney Springs. And, you know, you're stuck inside with a 2-year-old all day. And we were like, get us out of here. Like cabin fever, let's go. And then we thought twice about it and we decided that the entire Disney population descending upon Disney Springs was probably not anything that we wanted to be involved in. So we did not go. We stayed back at the resort. My husband's cousin went, with her fiance and a friend, and she was like, well, we went and we got back in the car and left because there was just lines everywhere. And I have a lot of friends actually that work at Disney Springs, at a couple of different restaurants. And they, you know, I mean, it was obviously everybody short staffed, you know, nobody wanted to come into work. So, a lot of the restaurants were operating on less than a skeletal staff. For I can't even imagine how many people. So we stayed away, and I was happy with that decision. I was glad.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's like we're trying to get something open so that people can have some kind of an experience, at least for this night till tomorrow we can get everything going again. But, you know, it probably looked good on paper, but I bet you about an hour into this whole thing, they're probably thinking, not a good idea. Because, you know, at first I was like, oh, good, at least they're opening some up. Because, like you said, I don't want to get out of my room. You know, Disney Springs is new. There's a lot to do there. There's entertainment. You can walk around. You can have a bite to eat. Yeah, not so much when that's the only thing opening.
Not so much.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
So you made the right call. But not, yeah, that sometimes by not doing something, it's always the right call. So it's good to hear.
Right.
So
right.
As we wrap up, you mentioned Yak and Yeti. I love that place, especially for lunch, too. That's a good one. Ohana, great place for groups. Any other meals that stood out that people might consider when you're traveling with a bigger group?
Yeah. So we did breakfast at Be Our Guest. The first full day we were there, we did Magic Kingdom. And it happened to be my sister's birthday. So that's where she wanted to have breakfast. And that was great. We all sat together. Everybody loved it. So that was a really great place to all meet. And then I'm trying to think, I don't think we had another group meal. I think Yak and Yeti was the last group meal that we had. And then, you know, Tuesday and Thursday, we just, you know, we did food and wine. We didn't even have, you know, any ADRs for that at all. My husband and I went to Trader Sam's on Wednesday night with, you know, my sister and my cousin and whatever. We had kind of like an adult night. So that was good. I'd never been to Trader Sam's before, and that is an experience. That was a really good time. So we did that, and I think that was it as far as meals. We did wind up going to Boardwalk because our flight got canceled and we got stuck, quote unquote, in Disney World. So we did wind up going to Boardwalk, and, you know, we did Ample Hills. You know, we did some stuff down there, but we didn't have any other group meals.
You know what, though? It sounds like you had some, you know, really good time as far as your dining, your park touring, and just kind of chilling. Like I said, I mean, making an effort to have a night with the adults at Trader Sam's. I mean, that's really what a Disney vacation is all about. You know, as much as we stress about, oh, I got to get that ADR for Frozen Ever After, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, or, you know, Expedition Everest, and now it's going to be Pandora here in a week or two. It's one of those things that it's the memories you make with the people you're with that really stick with you, I think. And I think you're kind of reinforcing that fact on today's show.
Yeah, the memories are obviously, you know, priceless, you know, and you kind of have... You know, I can think of a memory that I have with each person that was there. And that's amazing to me. You know, I'll give you an example. My cousin and I have been to Disney World, I mean, maybe 10 times together in our lifetime, you know, a lot. And I still, from this trip, I can remember one moment that we had together that has never happened before and will never happen again. And that's everything. That is what these trips are for. It's fantastic.
That's absolutely it. That's a great way to wrap up today's show. So, Jennifer, thanks so much. It sounds like you had a great time. And the best thing I like about this trip is that you really, truly made the best of a tough situation with the hurricane. You know, you weren't negative. You did the best you could. And you had a lot of stuff going on. You had a lot of variables. And you just went through it like a trooper. And you got me so excited now for Old Key West. I can hear the Jimmy Buffett playing right now in my head. So
you're going to love it. And I'll tell you what, make sure you guys take the boat from Old Key West over to Disney Springs. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. I saw a piece of property that I've never seen before. So put that on your to-do list. Make sure you guys make that happen.
Oh, well, you know, definitely. That's why I stay at Riverside all the time. I love the old Sasagula River, but I can tell you, I've probably seen all that property because when we played golf over Marathon weekend, we were playing on Lake Buena Vista, which goes through Old Key West. My balls were never you know, my golf balls never ended up in the fairways. So I was over by the river many, many times. So I've seen areas nobody's
seen. Well,
now
you can see it from a different perspective.
That's it, without a weapon in my hand or a golf club. So
there you go.
I can't wait. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. And I hope you had a great Mother's Day. And thanks for coming on the show and kicking off the week the right way with us.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Wisdom Vault. So you need a good read here as we kick off summer officially in just a couple of weeks. And you know what? I have a hammock in the backyard and I can already see my copy of the Wisdom Vault in my hand with a Coke Zero sitting there and just in the shade enjoying some inspiring words from Dr. Jeff Barnes in the book relating Walt Disney's journey to not only make movies, but bring those movies to life in Disneyland and then take some of those lessons and apply those to hopefully make my career a little bit better, because I want to plus the experiences not only for my listeners here on the podcast, but for my friends and family. I want to be the best Mike Rallman I can be, and this book helps me do just that. So check out The Wisdom of Walt. You can pick it up on Amazon or just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. You also want to stay out of line to see the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation, and a touringplans.com premium subscription is going to let you do just that. So drop by touringplans.com today. Check out all the great trip planning tools they have for you. Most of them are free, but you want that premium subscription so you have all the information you need for a great vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, a couple more weeks to sign up for the Ship to Shore 5K Challenge to get 2 5Ks. Those are for the people that are sailing with us on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. You got to sign up by June 1st, so a couple more weeks. $5 is all it costs, and you'll have your medal for the race, the Ship to Shore Challenge. And again, if you want to do the virtual, we're going to have people doing it all around the world. You have until July 15th, so just drop by the Facebook page for that link. It'll be pinned at the top, and you can sign up, get an awesome medal that was designed by our good friends, the Shine Golds. Jen Stead took care of the artwork for it. And thanks to the Magic for Less Travel for helping with the cost. All the money is going to go to Give Kids the World. That's the amazing thing. They're awesome. They're angels. They're down in Orlando taking care of those families that really need it. So do join our virtual race, the Ship to Shore Challenge. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's going to be a great time. You're going to get a great medal for running 2 5Ks wherever you are in the world. So be a part of making some memories for the folks and some magic for the folks down at Give Kids the World Village. Do support our show by shopping at Amazon and using our affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. So the next time you do your online shopping, just go through that link first. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And we thank you for supporting the show that way. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, too many messages at the end. Let's let you loose, and we'll be back again on Wednesday with your listener questions. So for Jennifer, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Whatever you do, it's time to get back to work. You thought I was going to stay safe, and I want you to do that. But unfortunately, it's time to get back to work. For me, I got 2 more weeks, and then I'm done with teaching. We're getting close. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.